Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Now, historically, Christmas is the birth of Jesus, right? All right. Theologically, though, it's a little bit different. It is the incarnation of God in the flesh, in the form of Jesus. And traditionally, of course, Christmas is a time of joy and generosity, peace. But we're usually so occupied with the celebration that we really forget who we're celebrating.
Amen.
Jesus is the center of Christmas, and he's the reason for the season. Have you ever seen that bumper sticker? I sure have. He is the reason for the season. We're in this four-week preparation for his advent, which is, means coming. And as I said, we're in the third week now. It's not really a physical preparation. It's more of a spiritual preparation. We've looked at the candle of hope. The hope of Israel was born in a manger. The Savior, Jesus Christ, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Last week we looked at the candle of peace. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, the angel said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." On that first Christmas day, our Heavenly Father made a way for us to be forgiven and to be made right with him. Because of that first Christmas day, we can have not only peace with God, but we can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. So the message on that first Christmas day was, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. What kind of peace? God's peace.
Amen.
From the Prince of Peace. That's who he is. Now today we lit the third candle, the candle of joy. Folks, Christmas is the season of joy, right?
Amen.
Don't we think it's joyful to be in this Christmas season? I mean, even those people who really show no joy at any other time of the year seem to have some kind of an epiphany, a joy around Christmas time. They may not even, in fact, we have to say happy holidays now, right? Wrong! I never say that. I always say Merry Christmas.
Amen.
And someone has very, very graciously said something to me that I've started using now. I start saying, have a blessed day.
Yeah.
You know, some people, they say, thank you very much. And other people look at you like you're crazy. You don't understand what I'm doing and what's going on in my life. How can I have a blessed day? I don't want to get into that right now. All right? But we, even people who really don't know a whole lot about Christmas or celebrate Christmas for this, for some reason, they have a lot of joy around this time of the year. So you guys look like you need some joy. You really do. So let's really get in the mood. Hit it, Dan. Y'all know this one, don't you? Sing along with me now.
I've got the joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
What?
Down in my heart. Understanding down in my heart. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Jesus in my heart.
All right. Woo. Y'all happy now?
Amen.
All right, take your mask down. Let me smile. Let me see you smile. Let's see. All right, good enough. Very good. Now, with this time of year, if you turn on the radio or you watch anything, like 95.1 or any of these radio programs, they have Christmas carols. And it's constant Christmas carols. And you hear it from everybody. You hear it from Jay-Z. You hear, is he still around? He is? Okay. But you hear it from all kinds of different people, all these different Christmas carols. What's your favorite Christmas carol?
Silent Night.
Silent Night, okay.
Mary, Did You Know?
Oh, Holy Night.
Oh, Holy Night. Come on, folks.
Hark the Herald
Angels. Hark, Herald, the Angel Sings, right? You heard about the little boy praying. And he kept saying, Harold, I want you to do this. And Harold, would you do that? His mom said, who's Harold? He said, well, that's God's name, isn't it? She said, no. He said, well, yeah, it's Hark, Harold, the Angel Sings. So, anyway. Anybody else? Another carol, Christmas carol?
Oh, Come All Ye Faithful.
Oh, Come All Ye Faithful. Boy, we've got some good ones there, right? Now, you would think that the one that I haven't heard yet is the one I'm going to be talking about. It's called Joy to the World. Now, I'm not talking about joy to the fishes in the deep blue sea, joy to you and me. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about joy to the world, the Lord has come. Isaac Watts wrote that in 1719. Really? And it's one of the most loved carols because it captures really the essence of Christmas, which is joy, right? And he was right when he titled it Joy to the World, because it's not a sectional joy. It's not like national. We just don't celebrate it here in the United States. It's all over the world, isn't it? It's not emotional. It's not physical. It's not any of those things. It is joy to the world. So it's an international joy. It's something that the whole world can be joyful about. Remember, the angel said in verse 10, I bring you good tidings of great joy.
Amen.
Wow. Now that word good tidings is the same word we use for evangelism. So we're out, what we're seeing is, I want to go tell the good news that Jesus Christ is born. And we have a clue what that good news is. He says, unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. But there's something really unique in verse 11. So those of you that take notes, you ought to write this down. Those of you that don't take notes, write this down. It says, in verse 11, nowhere else in the Bible will you find the three words, Savior, Christ, and Lord, in one verse. This is the only verse where it says that. And then you couple that with verse 12, where it says, and the babe, you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know about who's in the manger, doesn't it?
Amen.
That's truly why Christmas is a time of joy. There's joy at Christmas because of the birth of a child. Now, most births don't get a whole lot of attention in the world, do they? They're pretty common every day. Most people are more concerned about sickness and war and economy and the elections and all the things, the mess that's going on and COVID. We think all about that stuff. We're not too concerned about babies being born, are we? But 2,000 years ago, there was a baby that was born that would literally shape the destiny of the entire world.
Amen.
Verse 12 says, and this will be a sign unto you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Folks, this wasn't the birth of an ordinary son. This was the birth of the Son of God. And notice where the shepherds were told to look. Not in the palace. In a manger, in a stable. They didn't, you know, no servants around, just a bunch of sheep and cows and chickens and whatever was in the barn there with them. He wasn't wrapped in a velvet comforter. He was wrapped in a bunch of dirty rags, things they could find. And what was really amazing is he was a real baby.
Amen.
I mean, he was real. I mean, Jesus wasn't faking it. He came as a real baby, an infant. Like other babies, He didn't understand words. He needed to be changed. He needed to be fed. He needed to be washed. He needed to be cared for, just like any other baby. And we ought to, can you really think about that? This baby, who is the Lord of all creation,
Amen.
This baby that Mary delivered is the great I am.
Amen.
You know, somebody said, Mary, did you know? That says it all about the Lord Jesus. When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Here he was, God in the flesh, who had to learn how to walk, who had to learn how to talk, who had to learn how to feed himself. When he came in his humanity, he was like us in every way.
Amen.
He knew grief. He knew sorrow. He knew heartache and pain and suffering, just like all of us do, with one very important exception. He never sinned.
Amen.
He knew no sin. That's why there's joy to the world, because God has come as one of us. Man, that's terrific. He came to be like us so that he might change us to be like him. He came to be like us so that he might change us to be like him.
Amen.
So there's joy at Christmas because of the birth of a baby. But also there's joy at Christmas because of the coming of a Savior. The angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy." And that news was, "Unto you was born this day, the city of David, a Savior." Now, in the Old Testament, the word Savior describes a deliverer from someone's enemies. That's what the word basically means. In the Old Testament, the Messiah is never called Savior. That word always refers to God, who delivers his people from defeat and disease and from death. The Word of God makes it clear that the title Savior belongs to God and God alone. Listen to Isaiah 43:11. God speaking, "I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." Isaiah 49:26, "All flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and Redeemer." Wow! Folks, we'll never understand the meaning of Christmas, nor the real joy of Christmas, until we get it into our hearts that Christmas is the coming of the Savior, God in the flesh. The Apostle John said in 1 John 4, "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." Wow. Jesus Christ came to be our Savior. Even before he was born, remember the angel told Mary, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin." That word Jesus is the Greek word of the Hebrew Joshua, which means Savior. That's what it means. And Savior not only tells us who he is, but what we are. What we are. Because only people who need a Savior are sinners. We're the only ones that need it, right? If our greatest need had been information, he would have sent us an educator, right? Or if it had been technology, he'd have sent us a scientist. And I wish he'd send it to my house. Because I'm having a terrible time with, you know, you sit there and watch that little wheel spin, just drives you absolutely crazy, doesn't it? If our greatest need had been money, he'd have sent us an economist. But you know what? Our greatest need was forgiveness. And so God sent us a Savior. Now, Savior's got to be both human and divine. Human in that he could die for our sin. Therefore, he could be the Savior. But he also must be divine so he won't die in his own sin. You see what I mean? That's exactly who Jesus was. Both man and God.
Amen.
The God-man. Man that he could not die for our sins, or that he could die for our sins, but God that he would not die in his own sin. That makes him a Savior. Paul said, "For God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What a powerful verse of Scripture.
Amen.
That's why there's joy in the world at Christmas time. Because there's the birth of a baby, there's the coming of a Savior, and there's joy at Christmas because of the majesty of a king. A king. That little baby lying in the manger was not just the Savior, he was the Lord. He was the Lord. Folks, that's incredible news. Jesus, the little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, born in a stable, was not just Jesus, the Messiah of the Jews, nor he was Jesus, the Savior of the world, but he was Jesus, the Lord of all creation.
Amen.
And you know what? One day, one glorious day, as Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh, I tell you what, I am so looking for that day.
Amen.
When nobody's going to have any more lip service, we're all going to have to bow our knees to the Lord Jesus. You know what really makes me sad at Christmas is to see how this world tries to convince both children and adults that the reason Christmas is such a wonderful time and a glorious time and joy and mirth and all of that is because of someone who doesn't even exist. Now, I don't want to burst anybody's bubble, but that's Santa Claus.
Amen.
You know? Hallmark, for instance, portrays Santa as some kind of a magical, all-powerful wish granter for every one of your dreams. That ain't true, folks. I know that's not a big statement for all of us here. But folks, if Santa was the best this world could come up with as to why we celebrate Christmas, we shouldn't even be celebrating Christmas. Because that stinks. You know? Christmas is not about Santa Claus. Christmas is about the Savior.
Amen.
It's not about gifts. It's about grace. The grace of God that brings salvation. And he will always be the reason for the season because Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
So what do we learn? Can we learn anything new from this Christmas story? Jesus is a son. He can relate to us. And because he's like us, he can make us like him. Wow. He's our Savior. We can respond to him. And even though we're sinners, he will accept us if we will trust him. And as Lord, that's how we really must receive him. As the Lord of our life. He wants to have control over our lives. He wants to guide us here on earth. And oh yeah, he wants to take us to heaven.
Amen.
Looking for that day. You know the tragedy with so many Christians today is they're on their way to heaven, but they're living like heaven's a fairy tale for little kids. Folks, heaven's real.
Amen.
It really is. The reason all these people, there's just no joy in their lives. David said in Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Folks, it's time we get the Lord Jesus back into our everyday lives. Get him into our conversations. If we're always criticizing and fault-finding and complaining about our lives and our circumstances, we can't be joyful. Listen, when Jesus is the Lord of your life, we're going to obey him. We're going to adore him. We're going to serve him and follow him. We'll give him our time and our talent and our treasure. We will joyfully do that. Because Jesus is the one who gives us our joy. And folks, if we're joyful, people are going to know it. You know that? They are going to know it. You cannot hide joy. I've seen so many people that walk around, they look like an advertisement for some kind of a funeral home. You know? I mean, they really look bad. You can't be like the guy that Pastor Bill told us about when he fell asleep and the kids put the Limburger cheese on his mustache. And they walked around and he just, everywhere he went, it smelled. And his conclusion was, this whole world stinks. Folks, it's all right to smile. It is all right to laugh. It's okay to be real. It's okay to be normal, or in my case, semi-normal. It's all right to let the joy of Jesus radiate from your life.
Amen.
So how do we really get the joy of the Lord? Psalm 16:11, David said, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." Folks, in order to have the joy of Jesus, you got to find life. John said, "And this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life." Jesus said, "I have come to give them life and to give it to them more abundantly." Folks, we have to make a conscious effort to repent of our sins and ask for forgiveness, receive the Lord into our hearts. And when that happens, Paul said, we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. That is such an exciting verse that gets passed over so many times. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Now remember, the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Folks, I did a word study. A Greek parsed the words of Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, when the fruit of the Spirit. And I did an exhaustive. I did just syllable after syllable after syllable. You know what I found? Not one time do I ever see the word grumpy in there. There's nowhere that I read about, y'all can sing along if you like this, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Y'all remember that? Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it were for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Folks, I know people like that. I do. I know people who can look at a beautiful, sunshiny day, and if there's one wispy cloud, well, it's a pretty day, but there's a cloud up there. It's going to rain sometime. Folks, we can't have that kind of thing going on. When you become a born from above child of God, you're going to have joy.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
Okay. So that's how you get your joy. You get saved. Have you done that?
Amen.
Are we all on the same page here?
Yes.
Amen. So how do we maintain our joy? How do you maintain it? That word joy and rejoice is repeated in the scripture. And you know who it describes? Us Christians. That's who it describes. Joyful people. That Greek word is chero, which means to be glad, to be full of cheer, to be full of joy. In fact, the Apostle Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And then for emphasis he says, "Again I say, rejoice." You get the idea that you're supposed to be rejoicing in the Lord. Now remember, joy is not happiness. Happiness is an emotion which is based on your circumstances. When everything's going well, you can be real happy, right? But you have something go wrong in your life, boy, your happiness is gone. Yet in either case, whether you're happy or not, if you have joy, you can weather the storms of life.
Amen.
Our joy is not dependent upon our circumstances. Our true joy is found in our relationship with the Lord. Psalm 32:11, David said, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." You see, joy is the result of God's work in our lives. It's also a choice we make. You know that? I know Christians who don't choose to be joyful. Why not? The joy of the Lord is in your heart. If you're a Christian, God's joy is in there. It's just a matter of letting it come out. Paul said, "Rejoice evermore." I think Paul could be a real good poster boy for joy. Here was a man who had horrible circumstance after horrible circumstance, and yet he could say, "Rejoice evermore." Folks, we can always look at the negative. We can always major on the dissatisfying things in our lives or focus on our circumstances. But God's desire is that we choose to focus on the joy that comes from Him. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." That's the way we maintain our joy. So even when we have those troubles, and we have those trials, and we have those heartaches, we can count it all joy, knowing that the Lord is trying our faith and working our patience. You know, I've prayed from time to time, Lord, I got enough patience, I don't need any more. You know, I think we all get to that point at some time. But the Lord is faithful to us. Well, Pastor, what if I lose the joy that I have? How do I get it back? Well, how many of you know the biblical character David? David, you know. The guy who killed Goliath, you know, that David. The guy who was anointed the king of Israel, that David. The one who was a man after God's own heart, that David. That mighty warrior, David, he did some horrible things. He had an affair with Bathsheba. Then he turned around and killed her husband because of it. He thought he got away with it. He was just excited. He was just having a grand old time until Nathan the prophet came in and said, oh, by the way, you're the guy. You're the man. You're the one that's messed up. And God really got a hold of David's heart. And in Psalm 51, we hear David's call to repentance. Listen to it. In verse 7, he says, wash me. In verse 8, he says, make me to hear joy and gladness. In verse 9, he says, blot out all my iniquities. Verse 10, create a clean heart in me, God, and renew a right spirit within me. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Folks, David didn't lose his salvation. He lost the joy of his salvation. Because when there's no joy in the Christian life, I can tell you this. Don't look at your circumstances. Don't do it. Look here. Look into your heart. Jesus said, for out of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's where we need to look. So how do you get the joy? You get saved. How do you maintain it? You keep close to God. How do you restore it? You confess your sins, you forsake your sins, and you ask God to restore your joy. So with these three Advent candles, we have seen that Jesus is our hope, He is our peace, He is our joy. And as Savior, He's worthy of our worship. Amen?
Amen.
He is worthy of our dependence, and He is worthy of our obedience. I guess the question comes, have you really given your all to the Lord Jesus? Have you? Best news I can give you at Christmas, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Amen?
Amen.